Welcome to Behold and Become, a podcast about faith with me, Robert Black. Welcome to episode 107 of Behold and Become. In the previous two episodes, we considered the Holy Spirit through the lens of the Catechism, and today I want to consider the Holy Spirit through the lens of Pentecost, which the Church will soon be celebrating. Now, back in episode 56, I did consider the feasts of the Ascension, Pentecost, and Trinity, so some of this content of this episode, maybe I've mentioned it before, but that was a year ago, and I hardly remember what I said, and so I'm doubtful that you would remember much either. As is always helpful, let's consider the collects of the Book of Common Prayer, and there are two that are given to us for Pentecost. Almighty God, who on this day didst open the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the promised gift of thy Holy Spirit, shed abroad this gift throughout the world by the preaching of the gospel, that it may reach to the ends of the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the same Spirit, one God for ever and ever. Amen. And the second is, O God, who on this day didst teach the hearts of thy faithful people by sending to them the light of thy Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort, through the merits of Christ Jesus our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the same Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. The first collect focuses on the grand inclusivity and indiscriminate nature of the Spirit, as the Spirit is gifted to every race and nation. The collect notes that the Spirit leads to eternal life. Now, in the previous episode, we considered how the Spirit is what enables us to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And knowing that is how we encounter eternal life. It's not that we are gifted eternal life because we say the right formula, but rather that through the gifting of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to receive eternal life, which flows from the lordship of the crucified and resurrected Jesus Christ. The prayer then prays that the gift of the Spirit would spread throughout the world by the preaching of this good news. So there's a universality here. The Spirit reaches to the ends of the earth. As we read in Habakkuk and the Psalms, the trajectory is that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The second collect focuses more on what we might call the inward gifts of the Spirit, that the Spirit enlightens us to have right judgment and gives us comfort. The phrase about teaching our hearts, I think, is a lovely one, because the Spirit retrains our desires. Jesus speaks about where our heart is, there our treasure will also be. In Ezekiel, we hear about God putting a new spirit into our hearts, and Jesus speaks about letting not our hearts be troubled. This heart teaching comes from the Spirit, who Jesus has said will guide us into all truth, truth that the disciples were not ready to receive at the time. So one thing to make abundantly clear, though, about the Holy Spirit is that it is a gift. We do nothing to receive or earn the Spirit, and this is something that I discussed in last week's episode as well, so I won't cover the same ground here, but we have to remember that the Spirit is a gift, and this gifting is so important to how we celebrate Pentecost. It must be clear, though, that the gift is not the creation of the Spirit. On Pentecost, we are not celebrating that the Spirit moved in the hearts of a believer for the very first time, or was observed for the first time. Not at all. The Spirit has been present eternally as a part of the Trinity, and has been active in the world since the start of creation. What is unique about Pentecost is that the Spirit is given as a gift that takes up residence in the hearts and the minds of the faithful. One theologian speaks of this in terms of the intimacy of the Spirit that is gifted at Pentecost. So instead of it just being like the wind, something that's always on the move but impossible to capture, the Spirit is now something that is always present with us, dwelling within us. Now, we also need to remember that the Spirit is described as the Spirit of Jesus. Now, we reach the limits of what we can say with certainty and precision about the Trinity at this point, but the Spirit emanates from Jesus. And while the Spirit is distinct from the Son, the Spirit is not different from the Son. So though the Spirit can move anyone and anything, it doesn't do so in a nondescript way, because this is the Spirit of Jesus. Now, sometimes you'll hear Pentecost called the birthday of the church, and for one, it just sounds like a cheesy cliche to me, but it's also not quite right. When was the church begun? Well, that's hard to say, but I think we can make a very solid argument for the very act of creation, for the call of Abram, for the Exodus, for the Incarnation, for the institution of the Eucharist, for the crucifixion, or for Mary Magdalene's Easter proclamation of "I have seen the Lord." Now, Pentecost certainly could be on that list, but to put a beginning point on the church really is to misunderstand what the church is, because the church is the body of Christ, and Christ is eternal, so the church, likewise, can be seen as something that is eternal. And if we are referring to the human institution, again, Pentecost is special indeed, but I'm not quite sure that we can say that that was the beginning of it. Now, what people who say this are trying to point to, though, is the importance of the Holy Spirit, and that is a good and valid point. But we can talk about the importance of the Spirit without calling it a birthday, because that's just a trope, right? The reality is that the Spirit is the overlooked part of the Trinity, at least in most Roman Catholic and mainline theologies. Pentecost, generally it's an afterthought to Christmas and Easter. In the United States, I would venture to guess that more Christians intentionally mark Memorial Day than they do Pentecost, two holidays that generally fall in late May. Calling Pentecost the birthday of the church is really more of a lazy attempt to make Pentecost seem more important. And the problem with this is that it only furthers the church's impoverished view of the Spirit by reducing Pentecost to something as juvenile and saccharine as a birthday party with cake and balloons. The Spirit is bigger and better than that. Now, in Scripture, there are two different descriptions of the gifting of the Holy Spirit. In John 20, we read, "It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you.' Then he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven.'" And in Acts chapter 2, we have, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, 'Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the regions of Libya bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages.' They were all surprised and bewildered. Some of them asked each other, 'What does this mean?' Others jeered at them, saying, 'They're full of new wine.' Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, 'Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood, before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man whose credentials God proved to you through miracles, wonders, and signs, which God performed through him among you. You yourselves know this. In accordance with God's established plan and foreknowledge, he was betrayed. You, with the help of wicked men, had Jesus killed by nailing him to a cross. God raised him up. God freed him from death's dreadful grip, since it was impossible for death to hang on to him. When the crowd heard this, they were deeply troubled. They said to Peter and the apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Change your hearts and lives. Each of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God invites." With many other words, he testified to them and encouraged them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Those who accepted Peter's message were baptized. God brought about 3,000 people into the community on that day. Now, these two accounts between John and Acts are very different, clearly. And really, only the reading from Acts should be called Pentecost, because Pentecost does not mean the sending of the Spirit. Rather, it simply means the 50th day, as Pentecost follows 50 days after Easter, which aligned with Passover. Now, in Hebrew, this feast was called Shavuot, and it means the Feast of Weeks. Shavuot is a harvest festival celebrating the harvest of wheat in Exodus 34. It is, in the rabbinic tradition of Judaism, also the celebration of the giving of the Torah to Moses on Mount Sinai on this date. The Torah mentions a 7-week period which begins on the second day of Passover and culminates on the 50th day, Pentecost. And that's what all the people that are described in the book of Acts were gathered there to do. So Pentecost has connections to the way that God provides for and sustains us, and for the instruction that God has given through the law. And this fits perfectly with the Holy Spirit. It is no coincidence that the Spirit is gifted in connection with God providing people with daily bread and the implantation of a new heart within us. One of the aspects of the Acts text that I find to be so captivating is the list of peoples who are present and heard their language being spoken, in particular the Medes. They had been an extinct people group for several centuries by the day of Pentecost. Now, Luke, as a historian, he knew this. He didn't simply make a mistake. Rather, he's making a statement. These peoples come from all across the known world, but also from across time. Pentecost transcends space and time. The Spirit is bigger and more expansive than we can imagine. So any limits that we place on the Spirit are the product of our ignorance or obstinance, not actual limits on God. The Spirit enables the sort of beloved community that God intends. The connection is there in both John and Acts of the Spirit to the repentance and forgiveness of sins and the peace that comes through the crucifixion and God's ultimate victory through the resurrection. The Spirit is given to comfort us with the assurance that we are forgiven. The Spirit takes up residence in us so that we can repent and be transformed into the people that God intends. The Spirit enlightens us with the knowledge that the cross reveals the truest nature and love of God. The Spirit empowers us to proclaim the radicality that the crucified Jesus was raised from the dead, and with him, all of creation is raised. What a world it would be if Christians were more ruled by the Spirit, no longer keeping score, because we are all forgiven, loving no matter the cost, and putting our trust not in money or might, but rather in the new life of Easter. That is what the Spirit enables us to do, and what has been gifted to us. As we celebrate Pentecost, let's move past the birthday cakes and balloons and instead consider how the Spirit is compelling us to announce God's mercy, peace, and love to the world in tongues that all can hear. Now, before ending this episode, a brief note on the upcoming months. It's summertime, and I've got some vacation coming up in June and July, and I've also got some other projects that I want to give some fuller attention to in the coming months. I do plan to keep this podcast going because clearly it is meeting a need based on how many downloads each episode gets. But there are going to be some weeks coming up where there will not be a new episode, perhaps even a couple of weeks in a row, depending on my vacation and work schedules. But I do plan to record and release episodes over the summer, as my schedule allows, and then I'll plan to return to a more consistent schedule once we get through August. Until then, though, I wish you all the best. And know that my inbox is always open for questions or future episode suggestions. You can reach me at rblack@sls.church. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you forever. Amen.